The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is there more than one meaning to the phrase faith alone? Well, that's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today. Currently, we're in a series responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace theology. Let's go right to that discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, this is Sean Lazar with Grace in Focus, and we've started a new series going over Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. And Bob wrote a reply to that book called Grudem Against Grace, A Defense of Free Grace Theology. And we just want to go over some of the issues raised by Grudem because he's a major theologian, probably the bestseller systematic theologian, at least in North America. If a layperson is going to have a systematic theology on their shelf, it's probably going to be by Wayne Grudem. Maybe I should say one thing, that he's written more than that book. I mean, he's written other books about politics and ethics and biblical complementarianism and other issues. And I should just say that, you know, probably on a lot of these other issues, we'd really appreciate Grudem and agree with him. But on this issue of salvation, this is where we're going to disagree in some important ways.
Which is kind of sad, right? I mean, here's somebody we agree with on many points, and yet on the most important point, we disagree. And I would say the same thing about John MacArthur, by the way. I agree with him on many, many points.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to what must I do to be saved, no.
Yeah.
There's five chapters in this book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. And so today we're going to look at the first of the five ways.
All right.
And the first of the five ways, the first chapter is entitled, Not the Faith Alone of the Reformation. And he has a little sentence here to start each paragraph. He'll have a little summary.
Yeah.
And could you read his summary on that first one?
It says, the Free Grace Movement, and that's what we believe in. We're part of the Free Grace Movement. He says, the Free Grace Movement does not teach the Reformation doctrine of justification by faith alone. Now, maybe the first thing we can ask is, why does Grudem care about the Reformation?
Well, that's an interesting point. Grudem wants to argue that the Holy Spirit has worked throughout the history of the church and has given us gifted teachers. And so for the last 502 years, since 1519, when Luther tacked his theses on the Wittenberg door, the Holy Spirit has been at work. And if you don't agree with historic Protestantism, well, then you must be out of step with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And in fact, he has a quote in here that when he says free grace theology is, quote, inconsistent with historic Protestantism.
Right.
Of course, one of the questions I would have is, what was the Holy Spirit doing until 1519?
Right.
Where was the Reformation in the year 300, 400, 500? It seems to me, if we were going to follow his thinking, shouldn't we all be Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox?
Right, with whatever was the majority vote for the longest period of time, I guess.
Right. I mean, if your view is that the dominant position within Christianity is the correct one, that's called consensus theology.
Yeah.
Dr. Steve Lewis gave a good talk, and we have a paper on that, I believe, on our website on consensus theology. The idea that the majority of people within Christianity get a given doctrine correctly is wrong.
Right. I mean, I guess it's important to say, so we mentioned this in the last episode, Wayne Grudem is Reformed. He's a Calvinist. He's part of a theological tradition that is traced to the Protestant Reformation. I don't know if he's actually part of any denomination that's tied to the Reformation or not. I'm not sure. But theologically, that's who he identifies with as his heroes. And so for him, in his tradition, there's a normativity to these Reformed confessions and articles, and which he quotes. But this first chapter, I think probably some people who identify with historic Protestantism will think, oh, this is important because if something is true, it has to agree with the Protestant confessions. But you and I, Bob, are biblicists.
Right.
So this first chapter is almost, to me at least, is kind of beside the point because I don't go to the popes for my theology, but I also don't go to Luther and Calvin and Hooker and other people for my theology. I don't go to Catholic theologians or Protestant theologians. I will listen to their arguments.
Sure.
I'll consider what they have to say. But my theology, I go to the Bible. In fact, I'm a Baptist and I'm dispensational. So there's almost nothing I agree with the Protestants anyways. Right. They would have, Luther, Calvin, all those guys, they would have killed me or put me in jail because I don't believe in infant baptism. I don't believe in the church should
and
be part
believe
of the state.
That if a person was baptized as a baby and then they come to faith, let's say as an adult, they are to be baptized again.
I
that's
would rebaptize
called,
them. Yeah, absolutely.
I was too.
They would have drowned me.
I was christened in the Eastern Orthodox Church as a baby. And then at age 20, I came to faith and I was baptized. That's called Anabaptist.
Right.
The Greek word Ana means basically again. Ana means again. And an Anabaptist, and you're right, Calvin, or at least the elders in Zurich, which he more or less ran.
In Geneva.
I'm sorry, Geneva.
He was Zwingli. Zwingli was in Zurich.
Okay. Yeah. So in Geneva, it was basically a religious city.
It was a theocracy.
Yeah,
and you saw the same thing when the Puritans came to Massachusetts and kind of set up a theocracy there.
And so they would actually have the elders of the church in Geneva would determine this Anabaptist is teaching heresy, so they would put him to death, sometimes burn him at the stake.
Right, right. So I, for myself, I don't consider myself Protestant because I've never belonged to the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the Reformed Church, or the Anglican Church. I've never had any association with any of those Protestant churches. I'm a Baptist dispensationalist. So appealing to the Reformers basically means nothing to me, but other than if they have a good argument, I'll listen to it.
Well, here's what I would say. Not only does it mean nothing to me, but it tells me that if this is where he's going to lead with, this is his powerful first argument.
Right.
To me, it turns me off. Because to me, it says what's important to him is the formulation of justification by faith alone that's found in various creeds and councils.
Right. Instead of going to the scripture. So anyways, what is his point? His point in this chapter is that basically, it can be summarized by this kind of Reformation slogan, we're justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone. And to continue the quote, this is on page 28 of his book. In other words, saving faith is never alone in a person, for some good works will always accompany saving faith in a person's life and will be seen after a person comes to faith. And I think that summarizes all these quotes that he has of the Protestant confessions.
Yes. Now, he has an illustration in the book that I find comical. In this chapter, turn to where he has the blue key illustration on page...
It's on page 37, and basically what he says is, you can think of saving faith like a set of keys.
Okay.
Right?
He says he has a keychain with four keys on it, one of which is blue, and the blue key opens his office door.
Right.
And what he suggests is that one key is all that's necessary to open the door, but that key is no good unless it's on the key ring with the other three keys.
And the other three keys are representative of works.
Of works, right?
The blue key is faith. The other keys are works. And the illustration is supposed to say, well, the blue key of faith is never alone. It's always on the key ring with works.
And the problem I have with the illustration is, unless this is some kind of magic key ring, I can take that blue key off the key ring and it'll still open the office door,
Yes. So if you can't open the office door without having all the keys present, then they're all necessary to opening the door.
Right. Therefore, it's not justification by faith alone. It's justification by faith plus works.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's illustrating?
He doesn't want to be illustrating that. He thinks he's not. But he really is. I mean, if the other key has to be there and the door won't open, then it's just as necessary as the blue key.
But look, I have a key ring here, and I have two of these things. What are these called? These things you use when you hike. What are these things called?
Oh, it's a beaner.
That's a
carabiner.
A carabiner. So I've got these, and I can open the carabiner and take off some of the keys. I can take any key off of the ring it's on within.
Right.
And I do that at times. So this whole argument doesn't work. But the other problem with it is that ultimately Dr. Grudem and other Lordship Salvation people do not believe in justification by faith alone.
They say they do, but they redefine faith to include saving faith to include these good works.
Well,
I think that's what
we're going to get there in chapter 4.
Well, I was going to say, even in chapter 1, he says, here's what he says on page 38. He says, the simple statement about my keys is parallel to the historic Reformation teaching that we're justified by faith alone. Brackets, faith is the only response that God requires from us. Close brackets. But the faith that justifies is never alone. Brackets, because it never occurs by itself, but is always accompanied by or includes repentance from sin, and is always followed by other actions, such as doing good works and continuing to believe. So he uses the word, it's not just followed by, but it includes, faith includes repentance from sin.
Right.
So he's redefining faith. He's importing good works into his definition of faith, because that's what repentance is. You stop doing the bad thing, you start doing the good thing. So even there, I think he knows he's supposed to believe in justification by faith apart from works, but he just can't bring himself to commit himself to a clear view of that. He wants to incorporate repentance and good works into his definition of faith.
Exactly. The fear that Dr. Grudem and other Lordship Salvation people have is that if we believed that simply by faith we were justified once and for all and could never be unjustified, could never be unregenerate, then we'd go out and live like the devil. There'd be no motivation to live for God. So in their system, fear of hell is a vital motivation. When you say that free grace theology is inconsistent with some of the formulations in historic Protestantism, I would say, so what? Yeah. And besides, it's not all Protestantism. Well, although you make the good point. I mean, I tend to think of Baptists as Protestants, but actually,
we're not, no.
And that would be true of Bible church people and evangelical free people.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. But my point is, he's starting on the wrong foot.
Absolutely.
I don't really care whether free grace theology is consistent with the majority of theologians in Protestant circles.
Mm-mm.
What I care is, what does the Lord Jesus think?
Yes.
And what do the apostles think? What do the scriptures say? But we're going to see that it's Lordship Salvation that's inconsistent with the teaching of the Word of God.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to discuss whether repentance is a co-condition with faith for eternal salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.